Y'all keep me in prayer. We're getting into some deep water. Okay. Not deep water in a bad way, but deep water in a good way. Kind of like when Ezekiel came to the river and the angel told him to wade in. Got up to his ankles, and that was fun to play in. Got up to his knees, got up to his chest, got over his head. And pretty soon that river became a raging flood that he couldn't see the other side of it. The deeper we look into God's word, his righteousness, the more we should realize that we are not in control. So relax. Trust God. Go with his flow, right? Only through the power of God, through the ebbs and flows of the Spirit of God in your life, can you ever come to know his mercy, his grace, his goodness. Could we ever come to really know what it is to worship the Lord in spirit and truth? That only comes from ever deepening knowledge of God. Because the more you know him, the more you want to know about him. And like in the song Amazing Grace, when we've been there for 1,000 years. So if we're there for 10,000, 20,000, 100 billion years, all of eternity, we will never run out of the expanse of God. We'll never run out or even come close to knowing him, who he is, what his power is, what his grace is. But we will know more and more and more. And that love that he has for mankind, that love that he has for you, will start just bubbling up. Like Jesus said to the woman at the well, that the truth is going to come bubbling up from your insides like a fountain that never has an end. And I'm grateful for that, but I'm also fearful. There are things in my life that I could do that could stop God speaking to me. Amen? If I was to worship him with the wrong spirit, do you know that there are types of worship that God does accept, and there are types of worship that God doesn't accept? My brother Joshua back there, we talk about praying for one another and stuff like that. And we both said at different times that I don't want just anybody praying for me. All right? If you ain't praying to the one true God, if you're not praying to Jesus Christ, if you're not praying to the Savior of the world, if you're not anointed by him and you know him, I really don't. If you're praying to Buddha, I don't want you to pray for me. If you're praying to Allah, I don't want you to pray for me. Right? If you're praying to a God made of your own image, I don't want you praying for me. But if you're praying through the Spirit of God, through the love and the truth of God, bring it. Right? I'll take that. Right? I'll take that because I know who you're praying to, who you're worshiping. Last week we started this teaching, we started about a month ago, about what the Lord requires of you, and to fear him, to walk in his ways, which we will get back to that. Then we started talking about loving the Lord God, to worship him. And we used John chapter 4, again, the woman at the well, where God says that, where Jesus says that God is spirit. And you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Last week we talked about truth, about obeying the law, staying right morally with God, right? That's a form of worship, just simply obeying him. This week I went into the Word of God looking for what it is to worship God in the Spirit, with the right heart. What I found in the Word of God is that spirit and heart often are synonymous, the same. Say that again for me.
Synonymous.
Yep. Synonymous. All right. Sounds weird to me. The same, you know. You follow God with the unctioning of God in your heart, your spirit. When God scooped up the dirt for the first time and he formed man and he breathed in him, I think I'm no language scholar, but I think it's bara. I think that's the word that he breathed into him. And Adam became a living soul. God put his essence into mankind that we would worship him in an honesty through the Spirit of God, through the heart of God, into man that we could honor him not just with us obeying the word of God and walking in the righteousness of God, but with a heart of broken and contriteness that he really desires out of his people. We're going to look at some folks today that worship God, sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord refused their sacrifice. There are some folks here, and we're going to look at their lives and why God did accept it and didn't accept it. And so as we open up our hearts and our minds to the Lord, let's go to him in prayer even now. Father, we do thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you have created us to worship you. Father, you have created us and put in humankind a desire to reach the eternal God with fear and with trembling and with real worship, true worship, and worshiping in the Spirit. Lord, that we could walk before you as holy and set apart for your calling. And Lord, I pray that as we hear your word today, Lord, that you would move mighty on us, in us, and keep that in our physical minds that our spiritual bodies can understand true worship. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in my notes here, I'm going to repeat some of the stuff I just said. Last week, we looked at truth of worship physically, the fear, the reverence of God. This week, we're going to attempt to gaze into the reality of spiritual worship. What is it? What does it mean? What is it to truly worship in spirit? I think, church, when the body of Christ really gets a hold of this, when we really get a hold of what real, true spiritual worship is, I'm not going to go charismatic on you, all right? So, because they've taken it to an nth degree, the charismania movement, they've gotten it way on the God's all spirit. There's no physicality to him. But when we really get into the right groove with God, we're going to see God and understand him in deeper, more intimate ways than we ever have before. God is waiting to reveal to us who he is as we worship him for what he is. He's the God of all creation. He's the breath of life. He is Alpha, the Omega. He is all of these things and so many more. To get to know him, we've got to get our hearts and our lives in tuned with him. That's the whole word of the Bible. That's everything. Is that human beings would be in harmony, in tune with God. And that really comes when you start to understand worship. It's more than just a song, and we all know that. It's not just how well we sing in tune, right? It's not how well you know the words or the notes. That's not real worship. Real worship is the knowledge of the Most High God. It's knowing him for who he is and knowing that he knows who you are and he loved you anyway. And when you come to that understanding, when you start entering into worship like that, real spiritual worship, things change. Things change. And it doesn't happen all at once. In my life, it took a long time because, I mean, I was part of the Promise Keepers movement. Any of you guys remember that? The Seven Promises of the Promise Keepers and T.D. Jakes and all that kind of stuff and all, you know. And don't get me wrong, when you're in a group of men, 10,000 men, and they're all singing all at one time, it is emotionally moving. But I found out that through most of those Promise Keepers meetings, the perversion that went on in hotel rooms was disgusting before God. Now, they did the stuff. They said the words. They made melody with their heart and their mouth. They waved and they moved and they ate together and all that kind of stuff. But their heart still wasn't with God. They went through the motions, but they didn't go through any of the repentance and conversion that true worship brings to you. See, it's more than just a melody. It's more than just a quick or cute rhyme that you have. True worship is much deeper. And when we do not worship God the way that God wants to be worshiped, He rejects our worship. And He actually takes away from you, or He might give you a false sense of security, allowing you to think that you're really worshiping God when you're not really worshiping God. You're worshiping the pastor. You're worshiping some other entity. You're worshiping yourself. And you've missed the mark. You've missed God. And so there are several folks that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Saul and 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. We're going to talk, about Cain and Abel. I guess we could start there because they're the first ones. You know, often we think of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And y'all have been with us long enough. Y'all know the account, right? Amen? That there came a time that they were going to sacrifice unto the Lord. Right? And so, chapter 4, verses 4. In chapter 4, verse 1. Because there's not that many. All right, so we'll just start in verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. And she, again, bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect for Abel's offering, but Cain and his offering had he not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. All right, I have taught this, and I have often thought through the years, that the reason God didn't like Cain's offering, because it was a grain offering. It was by the fruit of the ground. But then as I was reading through Leviticus, God asked for grain offerings. He says, I want you to make a wave offering with wheat. I want you to make a grain offering to me. So if God says, I want a grain offering, then the offering of Cain's labor, his work, wasn't the problem. There must have been a deeper problem. There was something else on the inside of Cain that made the offering of Cain not acceptable to God. Because again, in Leviticus and in Exodus, God calls for a grain offering. The grain of your first fruits, all of that first fruit stuff, you got to bring before the Lord. So I've often taught, and I always thought it was, well, Abel, he made a sacrifice of blood, and God accepted that, and Cain made a sacrifice of grain, and he didn't accept that. But as I'm coming to understand what worshiping in the Spirit's about, I'm realizing that it wasn't the offering, but it was the heart behind the offering. It was the heart behind the offering. Cain's heart wasn't right with God. Remember, sin lieth at the door. All right, but if you do good, don't you know you'll be accepted? So God speaking to Cain later in that same passage, talking to Cain, and he says, listen, if you do right, don't you? If you do good, then I'll accept you. He wasn't talking about the grain offering that he would accept. If your heart is right with God, if you worship God in the fullness of your heart, the way He wants you to worship Him, He'll accept you. But you can make an offering of your own. And Cain's heart was evil. Remember, because his brother's offering was accepted, he became indignant. He became angry. That anger was already in Cain before the offering ever came up. That heart, that pride, that arrogance was already in his heart. His spirit wasn't right with God. It doesn't matter what he offered. It was the spirit in which he offered it. That's why God says you've got to worship me in spirit and in truth. Your spiritual offering is as important as obeying the law. Now, Cain obeyed the law by offering what he had. But his heart, his spirit wasn't right with God because he held murder in his heart. He had a hatred in his heart. He had anger in his heart. He had disdain for his brother, jealousy in his heart. That's it. So this offering I won't accept. This offering I will. Esau and Jacob. Esau I have hated, and Jacob I have loved. While they were still in their mom's womb. The spirit of one was one way, and the spirit of another, the other, was another way. Right? Jacob's spirit, although he was a heel catcher and a trickster, and you go through the Genesis account, you're looking at what he did, you say, man, that guy was just a conniver. But his heart was right with God. His spirit was right with God. David, a man of war, blood on his hands, so much that he couldn't build the temple. But his heart was right with God. He knew how to pray. He knew how to confess. He knew how to walk humbly and contrite before God. And God loved the worship of David. Now, David wasn't allowed to build the temple, right? The physical building. But he was allowed to gather all the utensils for it, right? There's a lot of stuff in truly worshiping God. So Cain and Abel are one of them. The next would be Aaron's sons. And Aaron's son, if you'll turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Now, understand just for a little bit. Come with me here. Aaron's sons were allowed to make sacrifices. Moses had appointed them as priests. They were able to do things before the Lord. But when you do it with the wrong heart, you do it with the wrong thought, the mind, wrong mind process, Leviticus chapter 10 says, and verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered a strange fire before the Lord, and he, meaning the Lord, and which he commanded them not, which the Lord commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So what is this fire offering, this offering of incense? What is that? Why was that so atrocious to God? Well, for that, you got to go back to Exodus and find out what this offering was supposed to be. Now think about this. Aaron's the high priest, right? His oldest two sons take their own censers and they make an offering before God, and is so distasteful before God that he kills them on the spot. They were there to worship God. They were there at the burnt offering. They were there at the place where the blood and the oxen, they're tying things to the horn of the altar before God. And God says, you have sinned against me in attempt to worship me in such a way that I'm going to kill you for it. You can worship God wrong. So if you, in Exodus chapter 30, the law of that sacrifice, what it was supposed to be like. But just a couple things back. And I think I can point to you some things here. 30 and verse 9. Actually, I guess you need to go back a little bit before that. All right, so if we'll go verse 6 of chapter 30 of Exodus. And thou shalt put, without getting into all of the stuff about the incense and how it's made and stuff like that, all right, as I keep saying, make it shorter, God's saying, make it longer, tell the whole story. Because I don't want us to worship incorrectly. All right? I don't want it to be not right. So 30 and verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense thereupon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. And a cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be. And two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. So it's telling you what it looks like. All right, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about. The horns thereof thou shalt make it unto a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for a place for staves to bear it withal.
All right, so making of the altar, this is what it's supposed to look like. It's square, it has horns, and it's wrapped in gold. Remember, these are images of the heavenly things. This is a physical representation of the sacrificial altar that is in heaven. So God's wanting it to look a particular way. He's wanting it to be a particular size. He's wanting it to be maneuverable, right? Those things. And so that's the altar itself. And verse 5, verse 6. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. All right, so God's saying there's the burnt offer, and this is where I'm going to meet with you, and this is where I want it placed. Do you think God is very particular about how he wants things done? You look at this, the way that it's built, if you go through this whole account of how God told Moses to build the tabernacle and the way that God allowed his spirit to enter into individuals and gave them abilities to do it, it's phenomenal. But anyhow, getting back to Aaron. All right, in verse 7, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. Then when he dressed the lamps, and shall burn incense upon it. And Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening. He shall burn incense upon it, perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifices, nor meat offerings, neither shall you pour drink offerings thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once a year shall he make the atonement upon throughout your generations. It is the most holy unto God. All right, so how is it supposed to be done? All right, true worship, because we're talking about worshiping God because he's holy, because he's just, because he's right, and God has these physical things on the earth with a pattern of how we're supposed to do it. So, and there it says, Aaron is supposed to light it at the evening and shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense. Verse 7 says, he shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning as he dressed the lamps. Who's supposed to burn the incense? Aaron.
High priest,
not his sons. Okay, so his sons did something that was not acceptable to God. And it says right back in Leviticus chapter 10 that they put their censer, not Aaron's censer. It was a particular tool that they were supposed to use. And God was very precise on what he wanted worship to look like, what he wanted the incense to be. And remember, you're supposed to put the incense in first and then the fire. Well, Aaron's sons, they did it backwards. They put the fire and then they put the incense on it, and they did it in their own way and not the way that God commanded them. When they did it their way and not God's way, God says, your worship in the Spirit is not acceptable to me. That's why when Jesus says in the New Testament, you must worship me in spirit and in truth, there is a proper way to worship God. And I'm telling you, folks, if you're doing it anyway outside of the way God says do it, then you are not being accepted in the worship of God. You're doing it your way and not Yahweh's way. So in the last 100 years, we've gotten into worship as the song that you sing, or coming to a building, or doing something outside of what God wanted you to. God met me when I was worshiping yesterday, cleaning a toilet. Amen? God broke my heart when I was on my knees before a toilet, washing it. And God said, Curtis, you are worshiping me right here. You're being faithful to me. You're being honest to me. You're walking before me. Yet look at what God has allowed you to do. Don't do it your way. Do it my way. Never despise the small beginnings, the little things that you do. Don't despise those. You're worshiping God. When you do it with the whole of your heart, when you do it in his manner, his ways, you don't put your cinder, your cup, and you say, well, God, I'm going to worship you this way. by writing a cool or groovy song. I'm going to paint the ceilings black, and we're going to put smoke machines. We're going to put strobe lights, and I'm going to have a 15-guitar rock and roll Ozzy Osbourne, Janis Joplin kind of guru thing up here, and we're all going to just, we're going to worship God. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're doing it that way, that's not worshiping God. That's not worshiping God. God wants us, the only sacrifice that God will accept is one of a broken and a contrite heart. It's not this thing that the church has made it today. And many Christians think that they're worshiping God, and they're not even talking to the God of the Bible. They may be worshiping a little g God, or a God of their own making. You know, sometimes worshiping God is just waiting. Do you know that you can worship God waiting for God to achieve what he's going to do? You see that in 1 Samuel with Saul and Samuel. All right? Saul just had victory over the Philly guys. He just whooped up on the Phillies. Anyhow, he just whooped them up. And Samuel said, in 7 days, 7 days, I'm going to meet you here. Well, 7 days passed. He hadn't come. All of a sudden, the people started leaving. And Saul said, well, the people are leaving, so I can't wait for God anymore. I'm going to do it myself. He went to worship God with the right material, but the wrong heart. All right? You can find that in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Flip over there, because I just gave you a synopsis of it. Let's see what the Bible says. See if I really studied my Bible this week. 13, and we'll pick up in verse 8 through 14. Say amen when you get there. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. All right, so look at what Saul's saying. Samuel said 7 days. All right, we're at 8 days or ever how long passed. People are starting to leave. Now, Saul said, bring hither the burnt offering to me and plate and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. First of all, that wasn't Saul's place. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was the king, not the priest. Another thing, if he would have just waited, how often do you think that you've got to do something because it's not happening in your time? Well, people are leaving. We're here to worship God. We got the altar. We got all the sacrifices. Well, why don't we just do it? Well, then you're just like Aaron's sons. You're just doing things, but you're not doing it the way that God told you to do it. And that's unacceptable before God. Now, the offering that he made wasn't a wrong offering. The manner was wrong. His heart was wrong. You know why Saul offered those things before the Lord? Because he didn't want to wait for God. I see my people are leaving. The army's leaving, so I got to do something. Well, what if God wanted to use a smaller army? Right? The people started to leave. Saul said, bring it here. All right, verse 10, it came to pass that as soon as he had made the end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Quick as you... All right. In your personal life, in your personal worship service, how often after you finish what you think is worship, you feel hollow inside? There's no connection. You got done with it, but then you realize that you didn't do it God's way. Or how often do you feel comfortable doing stuff outside of God's way and our hearts are so hardened by not worshiping properly for so many years that you worship God and not even worshiping God and you don't even realize it? You think you did right, right? Saul's going to plead his case here, all right? And Saul went out to meet Samuel, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, All right? I needed to get the worship going because the people were leaving. I needed to make a burnt offering out of my own will, not God's own will. I couldn't wait for God to move, so I had to make it. Often, the worship in the church is man-made, forcing something. We want to invite the people in, so we're going to make it sound like an Ozzy Osbourne concert, or a Rush, or whatever. And I'm not boo-hooing on the modern music. I'm boo-hooing on the spirit of the music, of the worship. It's not even music, because it doesn't have to do with music. They weren't worshiping with music. They were making a burnt offering here. Aaron's sons weren't worshiping with music. They were worshiping with the wrong heart. Cain wasn't worshiping with the wrong material. He was worshiping with the wrong heart. Saul, he wasn't worshiping with the wrong material. He was worshiping with the wrong heart, the wrong spirit of worship. They were doing it in truth. Cain brought his offering before the Lord in truth. He did in truth. Saul, he made that offering in truth. Aaron's son, I'm not going to keep calling their names because I have a hard time with them. Anyhow, Aaron's sons made their offering before the one true God, but they didn't do it in truth. They did it out of their own abilities. See, God wants you to worship Him, but He wants you to worship Him in the reality of the Most High God. He wants you to worship Him in what God accepts, not what man predicts needs to happen. Is this touching, right? Am I hitting the ground at least every once in a while, kind of like a rock being skipped across the water? Every once in a while, I'm making contact. Often, the church, and even this me, I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm going to talk about me. Because, it's all about me anyhow. Human nature. I have often thought that I was worshiping God. And I, because of emotion. Because it sounded good. Because it looked good. I thought I was worshiping God because everybody said, "Oh, you're doing so good." Oh, when I was at Open Door and I would sing and stuff like that, I was performing. I was performing before people. I wasn't worshiping God. I was more concerned about the note I was hitting and the rhythm and keeping up with the soundtrack. I wasn't worshiping God. You know, when I found out how to worship God, is alone in my office making up music. You're supposed to make melody with your heart, singing in psalms and spiritual songs. Right? It's not this fabrication. Real spiritual worship is from a realization of the holy God and the corrupted man. And when you realize that, when you understand the truth and the right and the power of the Most High God, and He starts working in you and on you, shaping and molding and breaking your heart. Kevin and I talked, we talked about it in men's group. That's okay. I'll answer it.
I thought I turned the volume down.
It's okay, brother. We all do it. I've had my phone go off in my pocket. Don't sweat it. We talk about it when you really enter in, right? Right? Who here has really entered in to true spiritual worship with God? I can do it at times and bits, but I can't stay there all the time. Every once in a while, every once in a blue moon, my thought, my heart lines up with the pattern and the thought and the heart of God, and all of a sudden I enter in to this spot. Yeah. It's a spot. And I hate to say I feel it, but I get these God bumps. All right, that's the first sign of it. It's just the truth of God. And it's like it's pouring over top of you like a flood. And you're worshiping God. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a song. These guys weren't singing songs. Right? When you worship God with spirit and truth, it changes the inside of you. And you enter into this essence of holiness and brokenness. And you are, Kevin said it best in men's group, you are untouchable by the world then. Right? It's just, it's, if you haven't experienced it, start adjusting your life right now, because it's there. It's a real spot. Oh, I wish I could stay there all the time. I really do, but it's hard to get there, right? Into that real spiritual rich, it's hard to get there. But it's when you start, what I have found in my personal life, my personal walk, when I start approaching that spot is when I quit thinking about me. Mm-hmm. When I get out of the way. When my thoughts don't matter anymore. When my emotions don't matter anymore. When my fears are just gathered up by the mercies of God. When my arrogance and my pride step aside, God steps in. And I enter into this spot of harmony with God. It may not be a song. It might be on your knees with a rubber glove and a sponge scrubbing out a toilet. Yeah. You know? And it sounds crazy, but I found worshiping God yesterday, first time in a long time. I wasn't singing a song. I was thinking about His goodness. I was thinking about His faithfulness. I was thinking about the hundreds of times I've been in this position. And God said, and you served me there. And all of a sudden, something changed. Something changed, not on my outside, but on my inside. Just, it was just like my heart just melted. God took that heart of stone away, and He gave me a heart of flesh. Because I'll tell you, when I was first starting it, I wasn't exactly worshiping God, because it was a messy spot. Right? I said, geez, we got a toilet brush, nobody cleans up. That's all. Anyhow. But God corrected me. God changed me. And in the midst of that area, God met me. And I praised Him. I praised Him in spirit. I worshiped Him for His faithfulness, for allowing me for 13 years plus to kneel before a urinal with a sponge in my hand. I know it sounds crazy, but that's where God met me yesterday. And I entered in to this spot. I got up and I came out sitting right behind you there, Kevin, in that chair. And I was weeping, broken. I called my wife. I couldn't even talk to her. But I had to share it with somebody. You know, I had to share it with somebody, because I started really worshiping in spirit. And folks, when you get there, everything changes. And nothing matters except that time you're with Him, except Him speaking to you. Right, Dave? You've been there. I can see it in your face. You've been there. You've sat there and felt the anointing of God just saturate you. Maybe that's not singing a song. Again, it might be doing the most difficult thing you've ever done. And God meets you right there. Saul, he messed it up because people are leaving me. The army's leaving me, so I've got to force this thing. You cannot worship God by forcing it. You only worship God properly by surrendering to Him.
It's His will, not your will. It's His ways, not your ways. It's His love, not your love. It's His calling, not your calling. And He will melt you into that spot and fill you with a newness when you really and truly enter in. When you really and truly enter in to the love and the power and the majesty of God. A couple other folks, Ananias and Sapphira, y'all know about them, Acts chapter 5, right? They were pretending to worship God, lying to the Holy Spirit, and Peter said, you're going to die where you stand. And they died. Then his wife came, told the same lie that her husband told, and she died in the same spot that he died in. They were faking worship. They were faking the reality and the obedience of God. God never told them to give the full price. God didn't ask for none of it. We read it today that if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need the blood of goats and oxen. I don't need that. What I need is a heart, a soul that's separated, consecrated, and set apart for my use. The way that Barnabas did it. Barnabas didn't do it and say, oh, look at me. Oh, I'm so good. Pat myself on the back. I'm going to worship God the way that the world wants me to worship God, and then I'm going to expect God to accept it. God doesn't accept that. God accepts the heart. Entering into the heart of worship is way different than the external expression of worship. I wish there was a more clear roadmap to it. Well, it's the Word of God, right? But it's even more than the Word of God, because that Word of God has got to become personal and real. I mean, so real to you. The God is spirit, and you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't worship Him the way that the world worships their gods. It is 12:20. I've got Psalm 86. I got Proverbs chapter 3. I got Psalm 51, which I thought Tom was going to hit today. Psalm 51, Psalm 109, verse 11, Psalm 48, Jeremiah 31, 38, right? All of these are talking about worshiping God. All of those are really understanding the fullness of the power of God, the great love of God, and the what it takes to be a humble and a contrite heart before Him, knowing that His ways are above your ways, knowing that His righteousness is far above your righteousness, and wrapping up in your head that God loves you. He may not love what you do as a sinner, but Bonnie, he loves you. The deep person, the spirit on the inside of you, that spirit that longs for holiness, that longs for righteousness. If you'll seek Him with your whole heart, you'll find Him. If you worship with your whole heart, with your whole spirit, you'll be able to enter in. Like the modern musician says, it's more than just a song. It's more than just a pattern of words or a collection of notes or a tithing box. It is the heart in what you do. Remember, speaking of the tithing box, I don't talk about tithing that much because I don't think it's God one. Anyhow, the woman who gave 2 mites, right? Little widow woman, she gave out of her necessity. She gave out of her, she gave all that she had. And that was worship. The folks who just gave and made a jingle in the pot, made a lot of noise about it. Theirs wasn't worship. Hers was worship, because she put all of her sustenance into it. To truly enter into true spiritual worship, you can't do it halfway, and you can't do it your way. Search the Scriptures. Find out what real worship looks like. and adjust your life to whatever the Bible tells you. Because again, like I said, I think well over 100 years in America, we've been worshiping God externally, but not internally. We talk about it a lot. Matthew 15 and Isaiah 29 said that you draw nigh to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. God doesn't care what you say. He cares what you do. What's the heart behind worship? God says it's a broken and a contrite one. Not filled with pride or arrogance, but humble, lowly, peace-filled. That's the sacrifice God accepts. So how do you do that? Well, what I had to understand is I had to stop what I am doing. Because I couldn't go there and go here. Right? To really enter into spirit and truth worship of God, I had to understand that my heart is naturally against God. It's naturally against God. And the only one who could take this heart of stone and turn it back into a heart of flesh is understanding the God who made the heart to start with. And when I started, and I had to want to dig it up, I had to want to look into it. And the more I saw the holiness of God, the more unholiness I saw in me. The more broken I became. The more awestruck I became. The more fearful of God I became. When I saw Him high and lifted up, and understanding that His train filled the temple, and the angels would cry with such a voice, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the earth is filled with His glory." And they sang it until the doorpost of heaven was shook. Understanding that will bring you into the threshold. All right, into the threshold, because I don't think I've ever gotten much further than the threshold, because the glory of God, the power of God, through the worship of God, is greater than what my flesh can take. Right? I would love to live it all the time, but I fall down as a dead man before Him. I want you to know it's available. I guess I feel like I'm chasing my tail here. It is available. It is available. There is a place of real worship with God. And it may not be what you think it is. Right? It may, if you're thinking it's the actions, it's the heart of what worship is. And I can't tell you, because there's no one spot in the Bible that says, this is it right here in this box. This is the box that you got to fill in this box and you're there. It is the fullness of the Word of God. From the Genesis 1:1 to the Revelation, the very last amen, is understanding the true God and what real worship is. So get into your Bible. Humble yourself before the Lord God. If you seek Him with all your might, you'll find Him. And I guarantee you there's a spot of worship that God wants you to get into. And when you get into there, you'll find out that it is true and it's spirit. It's not one without the other. It's the two combined with each other that brings the fullness of God into your hearts and minds.
Obedience.
Obedience. Amen. It can be summed up in obedience, right? Amen. Lord, we do love You. We praise You. We thank You for the time we had today, for the time that You've spent with us over the last several years, Lord. And Father, I stand amazed in the presence of the Most High God. Father, I love You, and we love You, and we praise You. We offer our hearts, our lives up to be a living sacrifice. Thank You, Lord God, for that. Romans, right? Chapter 12. By the mercies of God, that You present Your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is Your reasonable service.
Father, help us to enter into that reasonable service, that true worship, that spot that we know you desire in us. Lord, and we thank you for it. Lead us, guide us, direct us into that area, that we might indeed be true worshipers of you. Lord, we thank you. Praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay and eat.